This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. Each week, I'll be joined by a guest. We'll impart our own sex wisdom, ask our own sex questions, and we'll go over all the things they don't teach you in school. To bring this all together, though, we'll need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
In this episode, we're joined by comedian Jade Adams.
I'll be honest with you, this is not a subject I'm really used to talking about.
We discuss fingering.
I take my boyfriend around Bristol and I'm like, I got fingered in there.
Squirting.
And I sat there and one of them squirted on my shoe.
And the lessons you don't really need.
I was taught how to give a blowjob by a gay guy. I'll be honest with you, I didn't need that lesson, but I pretended that I did.
Welcome to The Real Sex Education. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined as ever by resident sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
We have another great interview today. This time it's with comedian Jade Adams. We talk about a whole load of things, but sexual confidence is a big theme throughout.
Yeah, it's really timely, actually, because one thing I've been noticing a lot with clients is that an awful lot of the single ones have been saying that they're losing their sexual confidence, that they've actually lost their sexual confidence during lockdown. Things like having the wrong hair or having put on a few pounds during lockdown really affects people. You don't realise how much you need all your ducks in a row. You need certain circumstances that make you feel able to express your sexuality. I think most people aren't aware of that. And all of a sudden, when you're not interacting with other people, when you've put on a bit of weight, when you're not feeling you look good, you're slopping around in trackies and things, many of us feel, well, they've lost it and they've lost their mojo. And some people are saying, I don't know when I'll be ready to have another relationship.
Mm. So with those people who've lost their sexual confidence, is there anything you'd say or advise them to get it back? What are you saying when these single people say to you, when your single clients say to you, I've lost my sexual confidence? What are you saying in response?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because I guess what we're often doing is exploring what it felt like before and what's made the difference and how they would find whatever it is that they need. So it's an individual thing, I think. People need to be able to identify what does it for them. But I think a lot of people are shocked to realise that there are circumstances that they need before they feel okay to express their sexual self. And they don't feel that they have it if their hair's not right or something. I mean, it seems such a small thing, and yet a lot of people don't want to go outside. I mean, I can see why. You know, people feel, wow, I just don't feel myself. I don't feel my sexual self. It's hibernating somewhere. And hopefully going forward, people will have discovered what they need, and that will stand them in good stead for the future. They'll be able to think, okay, you know, if I get my hair done, I'm going to feel really good about myself.
Well, some of you will have noticed there that I asked Mum a question, a sex therapist a question, and you can do the very same later on in the show. At the end, when we open up our mailbox, you can have your questions answered by Kate, a real sex and relationships therapist. You just have to send your questions into podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's. But before we get there, we spoke with Jade Adams and asked her, how was your sex education?
Non-existent. Mm. My sister gave me some information about it, but my sister, she didn't know either. She was only 2 years older than me. Mm. And all I knew is that she went from bad boyfriend to bad boyfriend who all treated her badly. Mm. And basically there was a lot of fingering that went on during the 90s, loads of fingering. that was basically the 90s. And for me as well, I take my boyfriend around Bristol and I'm like, I got fingered in there. There's an NCP car park opposite the Bristol Beer Cellar that's had a lot of action from me. But I feel like whatever sex education I had, I learned nothing about being a woman and consent. Never learned about being able to tell someone about what I want and all of that. So I basically have had to learn on the job, basically. Not that it's a job. I'm not a sex worker.
But what sort of thing then do you wish you'd been taught during your sex education?
I wish a woman would have stood in front of a group of girls and told them how to orgasm. I wish someone, I wish we'd had a class where it was all girls and there was a woman and she came in and she told us all how to come. I wish I'd learned that when I was 15.
There was somebody at my daughter's school who actually did that. And one of the ways she suggested was to sit on top of a moving washing machine, operating washing machine. That's what she said. So I came home and found her sitting there on the washing machine.
Is that the sort of education you had in mind, Jade?
Just like some education about how to come.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like someone, I learned how to come. I remember the first time that I did and I was on my own. I was like between the ages of 12 and 14, Graham Torrington, who used to do a radio show on GWR in Bristol, and it was called Late Night Love. And from 10 p.m. to midnight, he would play like love songs. And it was Valentine's Day weekend or something. And he was in Amsterdam. And I remember that was the first time I ever orgasmed on my own without, it was the first time I orgasmed, and I sort of found that out myself. And there was like, I had this like pair of shorts that I rubbed with. And then for years I thought, and I kept the shorts in the same position, I sort of used the shorts to rub. And then I kept the shorts under my pillow. And then I remember once my mum found them and washed them, and I was devastated because they weren't in the shape that they needed to be in order to do what I did. And I sort of didn't realise I had to find it all out on my own.
So what you could have done with then is someone to tell you to sit on a washing machine.
I my very first TV job I ever got was in probably like 5 years ago. I did this job where I had to spend an entire week learning about sex. So we did, and it was for like women. It was called the Vagina Show. And I was taught how to give a blowjob by a gay guy. I'll be honest with you, I didn't need that lesson, but I pretended that I did. I've never had any complaints in that department. And I was going somewhere with this. I got distracted by thinking of university.
But how good you are at blowjobs,
I had the gay guy who gave us blowjob technique lessons. And then there was one day where we did this like fanny catwalk, and we got these porn stars to walk up and down naked from the bottom down so we could have a look at other people's vaginas. And then one of the lessons was this woman got flown in from the Netherlands, and she was a squirting expert. So she came over from the Netherlands and she taught us all how to like squirt. And then these three girls masturbated next to me whilst I sat there incredibly awkwardly. And I sat there and one of them squirted on my shoe.
What was, did you say this is one of your first jobs in TV?
First job in telly I got squirted on by a girl.
Imagine.
This is mental.
Isn't it crazy?
Wow.
So, I think some people think that female ejaculation squirting is a myth.
But I know it's not a myth because someone squirted on my foot and it wasn't piss.
Yeah. Exactly. But you have the proof.
Exactly. I sniffed it. I wanted to know if it was urine. And it does have, because it comes from near the same place as the bladder, so there sometimes is a bit of urine in it.
Yeah, but it's very similar it's very similar to amniotic fluid.
Is it?
Apparently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I haven't checked personally, but I believe
I've never squirted.
neither have I. Amniotic fluid, for those that don't know, the uninitiated?
It's the fluid that surrounds a baby in the womb. Yes.
But she told me, I didn't know this, but she told me that the clitoris isn't just that, you can see of the clitoris is like 2% of how big the clitoris is. So the clitoris goes all the way back to the back of the vaginal canal, which I didn't know. And actually makes a lot of sense, actually, because, I can feel stuff down there. But I didn't, like, the clitoris apparently is about...
It's huge, yeah.
Girls don't know that.
Isn't there a theory that the back end of the clitoris is the G-spot as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you're still stimulating the clitoris in that sense.
Yeah, that's right. But normally, not everyone has that sort of. It's an area of nerve endings, of clitoral nerve endings, and it's sort of that feed back to the clitoris. And for some people, they're not there. They're in a different place. So that's why it's so controversial. And did you know that the vagina is the least dissected organ in the body? I mean, you know, the penis is terribly dissected. I mean, men are really interested in how that works, but not at all interested in how women's sexuality works.
Please state your occupation.
Science man.
Please state your occupation.
Scientist.
Would you like to dissect a vagina?
No.
Please press 1 for yes, 2 for no. Thank you. Would you like to dissect another penis?
Yes.
Please press 1 for yes or 2 for no. Thank you.
So after we'd spoken about how Jade wished women were taught how to masturbate in their sex ed class, I asked if there was anything else that Jade wished she was told how to do.
Instructing another person or having the confidence to say, hey, I don't like that. How about this?
Yeah.
Men and women and other people, having sexual confidence is hard because it's such a vulnerable thing as well.
Exactly. It is such a vulnerable thing. And that's what a lot of sex therapy is about, just simply getting people to be able to share what they want and share what they like. And I think women are particularly difficult because what they like one minute isn't what they like the next minute. Telling that to a man is quite hard. There's actually a thing where couples sort of cut out moves because one of them didn't like it one time, usually the woman didn't like it one time. And so they say, oh, Christ, I won't do that again. And then you end up with nothing really basically happening, about 3 moves and that's it. You know, as you say, bish, bash, bosh.
There is that fear that, you know, you don't want to like rock the boat in any way in case something of theirs doesn't work and you shame them or something like that. But
it's crazy, isn't it? You can't feel sexy walking on eggshells.
No, you can't at all.
There's nothing sexy about that at all. And a lot of people say that their best sex is when they're exploratory, you know, the fingering stage, where there's no pressure, there's nothing going on. They just feel really relaxed then. Once you get into it, and once the relationship's really important, much more difficult.
We've had this conversation before about when you say there is that pressure about saying what you want in the bedroom, because it's so hard. Like you say, if you say, oh, I want this, you're worried you're going to hurt their feelings. They're going to interpret that as, so you don't want this then. You don't want the thing that I'm doing at the moment. So then question to Mum and Jade, if you have any thoughts on this as well, is how do you ask? How do you say what you want?
I love it when you whatever, rather than don't do that. I mean, one of the things that we do in sex therapy quite often is to stop couples from talking to one another during what are actually touching exercises and become sexual exercises. We don't let them speak and we don't let them know what's going on. So right down to one of them preparing the room ready for the exercises.
Explain those a little bit more to me, because we've obviously spoken about them, Mum, but maybe Jade would be interested. So some of these experiments.
They are experiments.
That you do with your clients then?
I don't do them with the clients. They do them on their own. Get me in there.
You know what I mean, for God's sake. No, so two clients, and you say to them, right, let's say, and they're, you know, they're here for sex therapy, and you say to one of them, what I want you to do is go into the bedroom or choose a place, it doesn't necessarily need to be the bedroom, and prepare it for a...
Experiment.
Experiment. Get the chest tubes out. Get the Bunsen burner.
And then... Diggory? Are you using Bunsen burners during sex?
Yeah. That's just what I call my nice little learner. So then, and then you will then say to your partner, come in. And like you say, they're not allowed to speak about why they've set the room up in that way.
No,
or
they're not allowed to even talk about that. So someone will walk into the room and they're not allowed to say, I love the way you've set up the room. They're not allowed to say anything at all.
And then are they, after that, are they supposed to go straight into having sex, or what's happening?
No, they're experiments. So they're touching experiments, and they become increasingly more sexual. But the point about it is that everything you do in terms of touching is for your own pleasure. And so right the way through, it's all for your own pleasure. Mm. So when they start becoming sexual, they are basically guiding one another, you know, hand on hand, rather than doing what they feel like doing as well. So it's more about permission giving than it is about trying to make someone do something. So trying to make your partner climax or whatever off the agenda. Each person's responsible for their own pleasure. So they might ask the other one or show the other one how to do something that will get them a climax, but it's their responsibility. And it is so freeing. I mean, it sounds counterintuitive to say that, but it is unbelievably liberating.
Wow, this is great. What a great idea.
Really works.
Tonight I wanna try something different. I made up our room real nice in a way that just I like. Tonight I want you to come into our room, but I don't want you to. No, I don't want you to say a word tonight. Say a word.
Sorry, is that a Bunsen burner?
Shh.
We said no judgment and no talk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So we found out communication is crucial then, though.
Well, yes, communication is always absolutely vital to good sex. But actually, in this case, it doesn't sound as though that's all that was affecting Jade.
I also would say that the way that society is about people who are fat has also had a drastic impact on my sexual self-esteem. So there's nothing apart from My Big Fat Diary had a sort of sexual scene with a fat person in it and a hot boy, which was great. And I was really shocked. It was like shocking television to me that there was this fat girl. She was being fingered by her boyfriend who was really good looking. And he kept going like, I really fancy you. And she was like, oh no, you can't fancy me. Oh no. It's annoying that that was the response to it. This is constantly the storyline of fat people. There are no sexual fat people in anything. And it means it's really hard to see yourself as a sexual person when no one else in my entire life has ever shown fat people to be sexual, if you get me. So like a lot, you know, women can discover their sexuality by seeing people like themselves in sort of sexual, like, you know, people that are like Daisy Edgar Jones from Normal People will now go, oh look, I, you know, that'll show a sexuality towards that sort of type of girl. But like, there's nothing like that for fat people. And it means that you just, there's a part of that education that I'm missing.
Yeah, it's really understandable. And so much nonsense. And it's all historical as well. I mean, at different times in history, you know, different body shapes are attractive. And I think now, after Daisy Edgar Jones, we're going to have all sorts of girls cutting fringes on their hair to say, oh, look, now I'll be sexy. Now I'll have an orgasm, you know.
I don't know if you can see the chain that I'm wearing.
You've got Connell's chain on.
I've got Connell's chain on. It had to be done, didn't it? It had to be done.
It's just a real shame because because there needs to be some sort of education for different types of people. And like, so when I put myself out there on the internet, not sexually, but when I, with my career, I put myself out there, I just get lots of people sort of criticizing me for being fat. I don't ever get or anything like that, because women are seen pretty much as sexual objects, and I get abused because a man doesn't see me as a sexual object because I'm fat. And you know, it's had a, I'd say, a detrimental effect on my sexual self-confidence. I'm confident in so many other things. Like, I'm intelligent, I'm clever, I can make people laugh. Lots of people can't do that. I've sort of got lots of confidence in that, but the sexual side of things has disappeared.
But it needs, I mean, part of being sexual is what comes from the inside. And there are so many times in a day when you can feel, when you have the opportunity to feel sexual, and people don't take them. They keep sex for the bedroom, or they keep sex for, you know, a very quick glance in the mirror as they rush out through the door. But you know, you can feel sexual in all sorts of ways all the time, when you're flirting, or when you just a look between you and somebody, or I don't know, when you look in the mirror and when you feel great and when you feel really powerful and in control. Those times can come at any time and should do. And I'm really sad and horrified in a way that that those feelings have been kind of knocked out of you by bad experiences.
Or just bad experiences, online abuse that I get every time I put myself on television. You know, I'm not considered a sexual person. And also, I'm terrifying as well. I'm really confident. So I had to go, you know, I'm with a comedian because I would intimidate any man I'm with, because I'd always be funnier than them. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I have my match with this one.
You know, we make each other laugh. We should think about going out.
Oh, we should.
So, Jade, how often have you felt good about yourself when you've been having sex, and that rather than just participating, the tables have turned and you've felt really in control?
It was only a few times in my life I had sex with men where I didn't care about them. And like, I was really dismissive of them. And like, they came over and sort of serviced me, and then I made them leave the house. It's not a sort of behavior that I normally adopt, but I remember just feeling incredibly powerful about it, that I was totally in control of them. They wanted something, I wanted something. And then when they were done with that thing, I let them get out of the house. I remember walking into a house party once. I only turned up the house party to have sex with this guy, and I turned up, grabbed him, took him upstairs, had sex with him, and left.
You know, you're laughing, Diggs, but actually this is a really big thing at the moment, and I'm talking to more and more and more young women who are saying that I want a relationship, but I get such a hit from having sex with a man and discarding him that I can never get to the point where they think I want a relationship. They think I don't, because I so enjoy buoying them off and just saying, yeah, I feel great.
Buoying them off. I can't believe my mum just said buoying them off.
Sorry, Diggs.
that's fascinating though. But then maybe talk me through that more so I understand it. In for many women, they feel powerless in a sexual context. Is that why in these situations they're like, well, now I'm the one in control? Or
I would say that the more powerful I've become and the more confident I've become, the less sex I've wanted to have. So when I was in my 20s, I used sex as a way to validate my looks and my personality, and the more sort of the master of a universe that I've become in my life, the less masturbating I've done and the less sexual I've become. I found, because I used to use sex as a way to validate myself rather than I don't think I really know how to do sex where I'm not using it as a way to make myself feel better. And I think that I'm probably not on my own with that sort of feeling as well.
I have no doubt that you're not on your own. It's very, very, very common.
Yeah, I've had some sexual partners in the past who have, sort of taken from me what they want without giving back to me. And I at that time, I sort of pushed those feelings away, but it definitely sort of damaged my made me very shy about asking what I want.
Well, it's your sexual self-esteem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically. And no wonder that people want to feel powerful and use men when they've been through an experience like that. It's very forming. It affects the rest of your sex life.
So, Jade, at this point in the show, we always ask, how is it for you, if you'll pardon the pun? What are you taking away?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this anyway, but it's sort of really great to speak to someone who sort of positively reinforces things that I was already thinking. So, like, I have been in a situation where I'm having to try and find my sexuality again, because now I'm validated by my life and my choices that I've made, and I've got a great boyfriend. I'm not used to having sex where people aren't trying to hide it from other people, or I'm not used to having sort of a public relationship where someone loves me publicly. It's just not part of my so I'm sort of relearning stuff. So it's been really interesting listening to you discuss that actually this stuff is okay to it's again a sense of validation around some thoughts that I've been having about sex. But it's, you know, I could talk about this for ages. I've got so many questions about things. It's quite difficult to ask some of them when your boyfriend sat on the sofa snoring, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
But it sounds great. It sounds as if you've come to a really fantastic place. Well done. I mean, it's wonderful.
If men were as confident about talking about this as you, Diggory, a lot more women would be having orgasms.
I'm not going to listen to that.
I can't take that as an orgasm. I can't take that as a compliment, because Mum is sat right there. This feels so weird.
Are you finding it hard getting straight guys to come on this podcast?
No, I
was just wondering, because my friend does another podcast called The Pleasure Podcast, and she was telling me they find it really hard to get straight guys to come on.
Well, so far we haven't found any issues, but maybe we will.
I just wondered. Maybe you should go on the Pleasure Podcast.
Oh, I'd love to. It'd be great. Yeah.
See, I'll put a good word in for you.
Oh, brilliant.
I think you're quite an anomaly, Diggory, especially sat next to your mum.
Yeah, talking about this sort of thing. Yeah.
You must make women really happy.
Oh, God. Well, I'm going to make two women very happy by ending this podcast right here, right now. It's going on far too long. I will hear no more about that sort of thing. Jade, thank you so, so, so much for coming. It's been fantastic.
Thanks for having me. I've really enjoyed this. If you ever want me back on as well, I'd really love to come back on and do part two.
Oh, that'd be great. Wicked. Have a good one.
And you guys, bye.
Right.
It's the mailbag. Send Kate your queries. Twopodcasts@hatch.com. It's the mailbag. Send Kate your queries. Podcasts@hatchick2t.
Hello there. I have a query for Kate. I would like to know when the real sex education mailbag starts.
The real sex education mailbag starts right now.
Thank you.
So, now is the time in the show that we take a look into our mailbox. It's your chance to have your questions answered by an accredited sex and relationship therapist. If you have any queries for Kate, you can send them in via email to podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's. And don't worry, we'll keep your anonymity unless you say otherwise. So, let's take a look. From JL208, they say, I am having some sexual problems with my girlfriend, mainly associated with low libido, which we've discussed at length and feel we could use some help. Would we be better speaking to a straight sex therapist or another gay therapist? How do we find the right therapist for us?
It's interesting, isn't it? I guess you wouldn't have that dilemma in many ways. If you were just a straight couple, you wouldn't probably think about it, because actually sex therapists can work with anyone, in theory. But if you felt more comfortable with a gay therapist, then you look up pink therapies, Google pink therapies, and think pink therapists, and have a chat to them before you make a booking with them, and see who you feel comfortable with. And it may be that you feel just as comfortable with a straight therapist, or it may be that you want someone who's actually been through the same things as you. So it is a matter of trying people out. And sometimes, you know, whether you have this particular dilemma or not, sometimes people try a few therapists before they find one that fits.
And what are the criteria, do you think, for a therapist that fits you? Do you mean just in terms of that you feel comfortable to speak
somebody
to.
Somebody that you feel comfortable to talk to and who you can trust. Because, I mean, particularly when you're talking about sexual and emotional issues, it's really important that you feel comfortable with the person you're working with. Yeah.
Okay. We have another question here from DOGolf34, who says, I don't like the way other people touch my penis. It isn't arousing at all. I enjoy oral sex and intercourse, but just hate having my penis touched. Am I abnormal?
No. I mean, there are lots of people who feel this way, and it's often when they've developed a particular masturbatory technique, which they're very fond of and which they know works for them. And then when somebody does something differently, they're put off. So I guess oral sex and intercourse haven't happened so often in this person's life, and so they haven't developed that aversion. So I think it's about going back to basics and trying being touched all over in other places, not just the genitals, and see what it feels like, and work, and so that you and your partner work the way up to genital touch, so that you gradually become more interested in that, and maybe show your partner what you like. I mean, it won't be the same as the way you do it, but it could be even more exciting as a result.
Well, thank you for all your submissions to Kate. Again, if you'd like to put a query to Kate about anything sex or relationship related, or would just like to get in touch, we're podcasts@hattrick.com, hattrick with two T's. A big thank you to Jade Adams and Kate Campbell. Cheers, Mum.
Cheers, Diggs.
And see you next week for more sex.
Education.
That too. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Andy Goddard and Diggory Waite. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast. If you'd like to hear more podcasts by Hattrick, including Time Ghost with Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller, just search Hattrick Podcasts on your podcast provider of choice. This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between the host Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by but otherwise unrelated to the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his co-host was Gillian Anderson.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.